This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Roshan and Noel. It's 7:46 in the morning, 30th of December, a Wednesday, and we are looking at the higher education sector, which has suffered a terrible year due to the pandemic, with both students and teaching staff bearing the brunt of disruptions to classes, as well as ever-changing guidelines. And lockdown measures that have been imposed throughout the year have had a domino effect as well on intakes and enrolments.
Yes, the education business has certainly been hit. The closure of borders has also meant that institutions have been unable to tap the international student market. And I guess with no end in sight to the uncertainty, even with vaccine on the horizon, can higher education institutions, universities, can they survive in the coming year?
So joining us to discuss what the outlook for the private higher education sector looks like in 2021, we're speaking this morning with Jeffrey Williams, professor at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology. Good morning, Jeffrey. Thank you very much for speaking with us today. How would you quantify the impact that COVID-19 has had on the Malaysian private higher education sector?
Well, I think we know very well about the financial impact because we've discussed that at some length over the course of the year. But I think now we're at the end of, you're coming to the end of the year. I think we are pretty certain that it's been pretty bad for most institutions. So we estimate now that almost everyone across the sector will have been making losses this year. And perhaps as much as 80% may fall into what we call technical insolvency. This is basically because of the lack of income from tuition fees, and that, of course, is because of the restrictions on student numbers.
Just looking at some estimates, I think some people put it that 20% of private institutions in Malaysia face closure. In your point of view, is that figure reasonable, or do you think it might be higher?
Well, I think this is a reflection of the research that is being done with different groups of people with different methods. And they're all showing pretty much the same thing, which is that it has been pretty bad for many organizations. So I think the figure you're referring to comes from MAPCU, which is the Malaysia Association of Private Colleges and Universities. And that's a survey of their members. So it's likely to be pretty accurate, actually, because the members will tell MAPCU in private what the situation is. But we also have seen some public announcements of at least two universities, which we won't necessarily name, which may be closing already. And there was recently a story of a UK franchise university that may be sold by its GLC owner. And so these are some indicators of just how bad it might be, because we wouldn't necessarily have expected some of these high-profile institutions to be in this sort of difficulty. We would have expected some of the more marginal ones, of course, the smaller ones, but not necessarily some of the bigger ones. And that's a sign of just how deep this crisis has been.
So, Jeffrey, when we take a look at this, right, so the CMCU now has been extended to January 14th, which then impacts SPM exams, which could be also delayed, which then impacts the essentially the supply chain of students going to colleges. How does this, I guess, what's the quantitative impact here to enrollment into pre-U's or even universities? And how must universities, I guess, prepare or adjust for this?
Well, it means that we've lost this intake for this year. And it's going to affect, as you mentioned, it's going to affect the flow of people through the university. And what that means is that we might see, actually, next year, a big bulge of students coming in. And if we're not prepared for that, we might be overwhelmed, actually, by the impact that this has had. First, because we will have had a fall in the number of people and then a fall in the revenues. And then that will have caused universities to actually cut back in their operational infrastructure, perhaps cut back on staff as well. And then after that, we will see a bulge of students coming in later on. So it really requires some forward-looking planning by the universities.
Well, you've just joined MUST, the university. So what are some plans? Like maybe add a new enrollment date or maybe more reinforcement classes? Because studies were disrupted, right? I'm expecting that SPM results wouldn't be that strong for this intake, for this cohort.
Well, they may have to be some changes in terms of the entry requirements because of what you've just mentioned. Some of the students might feel disadvantaged by the disruption in their teaching. So we might have to deal with that. And also there might be some students who will be making different decisions about whether they want to proceed into higher education and also the type of higher education that they want. Perhaps they don't want to go into full-time education. Perhaps they become familiar with online options. Perhaps they want a more flexible approach. And so we may see these changes affecting the long-term through flow of the students in terms of our admissions. So we have to take this into account. And I'm not really sure that very many universities across the sector are looking at these structural, potentially, you know, very serious structural changes here.
So speaking of that online education, Jeffrey, I mean, the expectation is that within 5 to 10 years' time, more US and UK universities may expand their online offerings in order to survive, which means that Malaysian students could get an overseas degree without necessarily needing to pay international student prices. So how would local universities respond then to this development?
Well, I'm afraid they're going to suffer terribly because although many university vice chancellors have been telling us how successful the universities have been in transitioning to online education, the truth is that in most cases, it doesn't go much further than finding out how to use a Zoom meeting or a Teams meeting. They really haven't done anything in terms of the proper infrastructure of their courses, the audiovisual material, changing teaching methods. And the truth is, I'll tell you a little secret that we all know in higher education, online education sucks, actually, and most people don't like it. But the international universities, particularly in the United Kingdom and Australia, have worked very hard on this, and they have wonderful audiovisual material. And when students look at that in comparison to what's being offered by Malaysian institutions, who have made what I consider to be a very serious structural error and strategic error in shifting to this online process. When they look at that in comparison to what will be offered by Malaysian universities, I think you're quite right to say that they will choose the international version.
So keeping in mind everything we've discussed here, Jeffrey, and we take a look at the year that has been, I guess the big question here is, what are the key lessons that the sector and policymakers need to take away from 2020 in order for us to, and the sector, to move forward?
Yes, I think the biggest thing is the reliance on tuition fees only as the source of income for private universities. And this has been a long-term structural problem, which we've discussed previously. And I think that people are now understanding that you cannot rely on tuition fees alone, that you need to diversify your income sources. And this means a change in business models. We also need to improve leadership of the universities and take a much more strategic view and a much more open view about what's happening, not just here in Malaysia, but also globally. And finally, I think what is really very important is to look after your staff and to look after your students, because it is my experience of my colleagues and many other people across the sector that academics working in private universities have really suffered terribly because of the bad leadership and bad management within their institutions. And what that means is long-term that it's going to affect the quality that the students will experience, whether we go online or whether we go back to face-to-face. It's going to affect the quality because it will affect the morale and motivation of the key resource in any institution, which is your academic staff. And that's a lesson that we need to learn. And one other thing is the government has done almost nothing to help the private universities during this period. And if you look at the budget, which was passed recently, there wasn't a single penny available for the private universities in the higher education budget. And so the private universities need to understand that they cannot look to the government necessarily to bail them out through these problems. And that means better leadership and a more strategic view has to be taken by everybody across the board.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Jeffrey. That was Jeffrey Williams, professor at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology, with an outlook for how the private higher education sector is going to be faring in 2021. And I mean, honestly, from that conversation, it sounds pretty bleak because there are a lot of challenges that private higher education is facing right now. And as he pointed out, there's not much in the way of support coming from the government, it looks like. We've also been running a poll on the BFM Twitter account asking you, as higher education services go online, can local universities compete with foreign players?
We've gotten quite a few very interesting comments, I feel. And one that I think I relate to quite a bit is from Nick Hasiuddin here, who says, we can observe what happened to soccer. I prefer calling it football, but who knows? Why watch local league when we can watch top-notch players in action in various leagues overseas? And I think this is a great analogy for competition beyond the country, right? No matter what, it's always competition for attention. And if you could, if you can get access to a different kind of experience overseas or something like that, why not get the best experience as opposed to what you have locally? But I guess the difference being that as opposed to watching TV, your football on your TV screen and going to the stadium, that's the parallel here, right? Education, going to campus still has a place, at least I feel, in the holistic education. But it will be remain to see. I mean, if NYU or LSE offers courses that are more affordable and accessible, who knows what could happen?
Yeah, so I think local universities will need to take a hard look at its business model and its product portfolio. Maybe they need to focus more on courses that require in-person participation before they can be credibly certified. You know, there are some vocational courses that, you know, it's a bit hard to learn online. Some things you can learn online, but it does require you to be in class and to use your hands, for example.
Yeah, there are shades to this, right? And online education is evolving even as we speak, from if you compare it to the start of the year. Dr. Zaid Omar has also commented on this poll, and he's coming from the other side. He says he's a UTM lecturer. Look to our top local universities. You'll find we do have quality online teaching and learning delivery systems. Also, tuition fees remain a big factor, and I don't foresee big universities worldwide forgoing that very soon. So he's of the opinion that Malaysian universities can still hold their own. And it's true, I don't think that local universities are really going to go anywhere. But the question is whether or not, as Professor Jeffrey Williams also was saying, as whether universities have to relook at their reliance right now on tuition fees as their kind of sole source of revenue. What else can they do to bring money into their systems if this is going to be the case going forward?
Yeah, we've also got a tweet here from Faiz, who I think is a student. His tweet here is, what I am experiencing feels like a half-baked system. They have no idea how to assess us. Instead, they gave us unnecessary assignments to compensate the absence of final examination. And again, I think this relates to what Professor Jeffrey Williams said earlier about the state of online education at this juncture. It cannot be treated the same as what we had on campus, right? It's a completely different thing. So how it changes, it needs to be a different product. Mm-hmm. It cannot be the same product that you experienced on campus. So maybe a hybrid system, maybe satellite campuses for the holistic side, from franchise universities, who knows?
Yeah, so this is something that we will be watching very closely to see how the private higher education system does fare as we head into this new year. But right now we're about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and after that, the Best of the Breakfast Grill 2020 Geopolitics Edition. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.